Have I done my best for Jesus?
Come on, that's good.
Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way,
They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. His wicked works prove him to be God's enemy. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. That last verse declares the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn a couple pages over and we will sing Work for the Night is Coming. While you're turning, we do have one birthday, and that is Sister Barb over here. So let's sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right.
If you're able to,
if you're able to stand, let's sing number 639. 639.
Oh, thank you.
639, Work for the Night is Coming.
Take your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verse number 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God, and your goodness towards us, Lord. And I just ask for leading and guiding in the direction now as we open up your word. Lord, just give what's needed. Help us to draw near to thee. Help us to love you more. Help us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be ready. Lord, help us to be waiting and help us to have patience in our waiting. And Lord, we just glorify you and may you be glorified in all that's said and done. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last couple weeks I've been talking about wives and how they ought to be in subjection to their own husbands. And this week here, I'm going to continue on, but we're going to be looking at more of the men this morning. To me, it's one of the most important things in the Bible. To me, your church is only as strong as your families. Okay? To me, your church is only as strong as the families within the church. If the families are not strong within the church, then you're not going to have a very strong church. And to me, it starts with the men of the homes. Okay? To me, it doesn't start with the ladies in the house. It doesn't start with the women, but it starts with the men, okay, within the home. And I believe also the men within the church. I said it last week and a couple weeks before this. I don't believe that a man's better than a woman, nor a woman better than a man. I believe they're equal in Christ Jesus, but God's also set up a structure of the home. And I believe he set up the structure of a church. And in order for the church to be strong, in order for the home to be strong, I believe you need strong men that'll do what the Word of God says. Okay? As the Scripture leads them, as the Scripture guides them, a husband, a wife, a husband, a father, or a man ought to go. You say, well, preacher, I don't have a wife, or I'm single, you still need to be a man. You need to be a man of God. And that's what's missing today and lacking in our churches today is men of God. We need some more men of God that'll stand in the gap, that'll pray and take the lead. Okay? The man needs to take the lead. That's the way God created it. God created a man to take the lead, not a lady. All right? I don't want a commander, a general woman leading me in the battle. No, sir. I want a man leading me in the battle, especially when there's guns being shot. Okay? You got Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, take your Bible, flip over there real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Real quick. Take a momentary detour this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Very, very, very familiar words of Scripture here if you read through your Bible at all. But in verse number 10... Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you come into church this morning. Look, automatically when you come into church this morning, there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm. Look, brethren, it's just not, I'm afraid a lot of Christians today, we're in la-la land. I think a lot of, I'm talking about true born-again Christians, I think a lot of them are just this candy land type of utopia Christmas scene where you just come in to church and everything's good. If you try to go forward with the things of God, the enemy sees that and he's going to start throwing all his darts, he's going to start throwing all his arrows, he's going to start shooting at the troops that are trying to do right and live for God. So when we come into church this morning, brethren, there's spirits involved with it. There's spirits involved. Right? And each of us has a spirit. Take your Bible, look over at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. All right. Before I read verse 1 of chapter 4, jump up to chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Look what this next verse says. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. Here's how we know that Jesus Christ abides within us. By the Spirit which he hath given us. Okay, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical wrestling today. Brethren, we come into church, there's a wrestling match starting. Look, as soon as I sit in there, it's a wrestling match starting. Wrestling match starting. If you're saved, God's giving you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit which He hath given to us. When you're saved, when you get saved, you now have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. Now you jump into chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, John goes on to say, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, let me ask you a question here. When he makes that statement, is he talking about us talking in a spiritual realm to spirits by trying to bring up familiar spirits or talk to ghosts? No. So who are these spirits? He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. There's a spirit to things, brethren. There's a spirit to you. There's a spirit to you. There's a spirit to each one of us in here this morning. Brethren, I said it last week. I'm not playing games no more. I can't as a pastor. If somebody in here brings a wrong spirit, by God's grace, I'm going to try to deal with it. Amen. Because it's grieving to me. It just grieves me. Brethren, I said it before, I'd rather have 5 people here with the right spirit trying to love and serve God than to have this church packed full in the wrong spirit. Amen. Yes. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times I come in here as a wrong spirit. The other times I come in here, it's a right spirit. It's a good spirit. Believe not every spirit, but what do? You try the spirits, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because look at this, we've been looking at Wednesday night, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, we've been hitting that thing thoroughly on Wednesday nights. False prophets, false teachers, I think even sometimes false brethren. They have the right words, they say the right things, but they're not according to Scripture. Verse number 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Okay? Look what it says in verse 6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now, I'll say as your pastor, if I'm doing something against Scripture and you can bring Bible to me and show me, say, preacher, you're saying this and doing this, but the Bible says this, can we talk about it? I'll sit down and talk with you about it. But if it's mere opinions, then it's my opinion versus your opinion. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says here, we are of God, and he that is of God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Look at this now. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You have a spirit of truth and you also have a spirit of error. Understand these things this morning, brethren. The further we go along with this thing, the closer we get to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back someday. I don't know when. Nobody knows when. There's no timeline on it. Nobody has the month. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the year. That's in the Father's own mind. The Son doesn't even know when the Father's going to get ready to send him. Same way with a Jewish wedding. Even in a Jewish wedding today, an Orthodox Jewish wedding, the way they used to do it, to where the son would go and prepare a place for him and his bride, he didn't know when his daddy was going to say, go get your bride. Even the son in a physical Jewish wedding or the way they used to do it, he didn't even know when his daddy was getting ready to send him. Until then, though, you're going to have more people and individuals and things creeping on the scene that are going to be the spirit of error. There's going to be the spirit of the world. It's going to be a spirit of rebellion. It's going to be a spirit of stubbornness. It's going to be a spirit contrary to what does the Bible say. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? I say all that to bring us back to husbands, to men, to fathers. The Bible says here in Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Notice it says thee. It doesn't say ye. It says thee. God commanded Adam. He said to Adam, he says, don't eat of that tree. You eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. Listen, husbands need to realize that ultimately they will give an account for their homes and their families. There is a need, we're going to see here, there is a need for a husband to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. And a husband is commanded to honor his wife. If these are not met, his prayers will be hindered. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It is important, it is vitally important that a husband does these verses here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. If not, his prayers can be hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The word honor means this. A husband's to honor his wife. He's to regard her or treat her with honor, esteem, and respect. You know what's missing today? Men, true godly men, showing correct respect and honor and esteem for women, and especially for their wives. Knowledge, a clear and certain perception of that which exists of truth or fact. Dwell with our wives according to knowledge. The Bible says a husband is to do so. So much so that his prayers be not hindered. A husband is also commanded by the Lord to take heed of his spirit towards his wife and to not deal treacherously against her. Take your Bible and look at Malachi. Take your Bible, look over at Malachi. Let me get over to myself. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Look what the Bible says here. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take, look what he says to the husbands. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with a garment, with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, here he says it again, twice. So this must be pretty important for husbands. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously against your wife. Dealing treacherously towards your wife. You say, well, what does the word treacherously mean? It means violating allegiance of faith pledged. Look, when you get married, you have marriage vows and you pledge or you sign a covenant between you and your wife. And the Bible says here that you deal treacherously by violating those things that you said that you would do for your wife. It means also faithless or betraying a trust. God desires for husbands to be true to their wives. Matthew 5, 27 and 28 says this, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Dealing treacherously with the wife of our youth. Proverbs chapter 6 and look verse 23. Well, jump up verse 20. Father talking to a son. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Basically, every moment of your life, it ought to be talking to you. Verse number 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. For what purpose? The sentence goes on. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Three verses, Matthew 5, verses 27 to 28, Job 31, 1, here in Proverbs 6, verses 23 through 26. Look here, I've said this before, there's something, God has made a man and a woman different. I know that's an obvious statement, but today we have such confusion. Just anatomically, there's a difference between a man and a woman. I cannot, nor I ever will be able to have a child. I don't have the right parts to have a child. I'm a man. And there's every woman here, there's no way a woman, every woman that's in here can be a man just in and of themselves. There is a difference. There is a difference between a boy and a girl, a man and a woman. There's just a difference. Men, I pray you hear me this morning. God has made the mind of a man different than the mind of a woman. And if any of you have ever been married, you know that's the truth. A man does not think like a woman, nor does a woman think like a man. And sometimes that creates a lot of problems in marriages. You get a young woman get married, and they're not taught when they're younger to know these differences and how to handle them. And they're not taught, a young son's not taught by his father how to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. To know that there's different times to the month, that a woman's going to be different than other times in a month just by the way God created them. One time you might say something funny and she laughs. The next time you say the same thing and she cries or wants to hit you. Now look, you may say, preacher, you're being a little too prude. No, we're missing it today because I wasn't taught that. And so when I got married, I had no clue what was going on, and it caused a lot of problems for me in my marriage. Young boys aren't trained that way. They ain't taught that way. They get into marriage and think, what's the matter with you? Last week you were just fine. Now you're crying. You want to run away. What's going on here? It's the way God made us and women, men and women. So the Bible says that, Peter says, look, husbands, you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Why? Because she's the weaker vessel. You need to understand some things when it comes to being there and to be the help you can be for your wife. Another thing here that wives need to realize and women need to realize, that men go off of their eyes. Men are visual. Men see things. Women like to hear things. Brethren, it's a shame in our independent Baptist churches today that there ain't more talking about modesty among women. See, a wife or a woman may wear something and they think there's nothing to it, but a man is checking her out. Now, ought a Christian man ought to control his eyes like Job says and like Jesus said? Yes, absolutely. But don't help the battle. Look, this isn't nothing new. Read John Bunyan. Get some stuff on John Bunyan back in the 1600s. He was talking about the same things he had to deal with back then about women. And if you watch any type of movies from that time frame, late 1600s, 1700s, in that area there, even in the 1800s, the women wore dresses, but they also had their bosoms hanging out in some of those dresses. And John Bunyan talked about it. Why? Look. Because men are visual. Men are visual. Jesus said to not lust after a woman in your heart, because if you do so, it's almost you're committing adultery in your heart. In your heart, you're committing adultery. To me as a preacher, there ought to be a difference between the way men and women dress, and there ought to be modesty with both. I don't think a man should be going around with his shirt off. Just as I believe a woman ought not to be going around with her shirt off. I think some women that are in the world have a right. Yeah, that man gets to walk around without a shirt on. Why can't we walk around without our shirt on? And they're right. If it's all right for a man to walk around with his shirt on, what makes it wrong for a woman not to walk around with her shirt on? There's some things that God has in his word that we just gloss over and we think that God's just going to overlook it and not pay attention to it. God expects us to be holy. Christians, believers this morning, God expects you to be holy. I guarantee you, when we get home to heaven, there's going to be nobody up there walking around with their shirt off. I can almost guarantee that. And I guarantee you, when you get up there in heaven, we're going to be given right kind of clothing that's going to be modest and correct and right and holy. God expects the same here. But we think that it's just all right. It'll be all right. We can just get away with it. No. Dealing treacherously. Husbands, men, letting your eyes wander and letting thoughts go. Look, you can't. My preacher said this, and Galatians talks about, take your Bible, hold your hand there, look at Galatians, the book of Galatians. Hold your hand there in Malachi, because we're going to come back over there. But look at Galatians, give me one second here. Hang on one second. Actually, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm Romans 13:14. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was going. Look at Romans 13:14. Talk about the lust of the eyes. Job says, I make a covenant with my eyes, then why should I think upon a maid? Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on, Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says next. And make not provision for the flesh. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, through Paul, had Paul pen these words down. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells the Christian, he says, and make not provision for the flesh. Don't, as best as possible in your Christian walk, as best as possible, don't make provisions for your flesh. Look, any man that's a man, now there's some men that say they have no issue with that, but I think it's few and far between. If you're a man, one way to not make provision for the flesh is to plop yourself down in the middle of Rehoboth Beach on July 4th. If you're a Christian man, I'd be hard-pressed to believe you to say that you've been put right there in the middle of that beach on July 4th and your eye ain't going to wander at one moment during that time there over some half-naked woman you see and your mind starts to wander. I know there might be exceptions to the rule to where there's a man that has no issue, no problem with that. But then to me, I don't even think he should be there anyways in the first place. How can you walk around a beach in the middle of summer as a man and at not some point your mind start to wander a little bit? Make not provision for the flesh. Look what it says next. There's an important word here. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, I'll say that to say this. The Lord talks about there's beautiful women out there. The Lord talks about it. Abigail, one of David's wives, she was a beautiful woman. Rachel, Jacob's wife, she was prettier than Leah. Leah was tender-eyed, but Jacob found Rachel more attractive than Leah. So there's women are attractive. There's women out there that are beautiful. And the thought may come here, that's a pretty woman. There is nothing wrong. There's handsome men out there. The thought, there's nothing wrong there. But now if you start dwelling on that thought and you start making provisions for that thought and you start to fulfill the lust thereof, is now when you're getting to a place to where you're going to sin. Does that make sense? Because the devil can mess with your mind. How many Christian men, I've had young boys talk to me about this in a juvenile center. Say, chap, how do we handle it? She's just pretty. And I said, well, you think she's pretty? There's nothing wrong with that, but that's where it stops. Don't let your mind go on further with it to places it ought not to go and fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does that make sense? You bring every thought into captivity of Jesus Christ. God made some men handsome. God made some beautiful women and some handsome men out there. And that's just a fact. But you ought to guard your thoughts. And that's as far as it ought to go. That's a handsome man. That's a pretty woman. There's nothing wrong with that. God made that way. But when you start fulfilling those thoughts and those desires and those lusts, and you allow the devil get in there and your flesh get in there, and you start making provisions for it, and then you fulfill it, now you're sinning. When we're driving down the highway and all of a sudden there's a billboard that flips up, one of the ones that just keep flipping through, and something comes up there, an ungodly picture, you can't help as a man that you saw it. But what you can help is dwelling upon it or turning the car back around and coming back and looking at it again a second time. Does that make sense? You can't help the thought that comes to your mind or that you see something, but you can't help what you do with it. Dealing treacherously with the wives of our youth. You know what a lot of marriages are messed up over? A husband letting his eyes wander to places he ought not let them wander. And he deals treacherously with her. Job knew that, and Job asked God to help him make a covenant with his eyes. Take your Bible, look at 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 30. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 30. 2 Kings 9 verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 30 goes along with what I read just previously in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 said, "Lust not after her beauty, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Look at 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 30. The Bible says this. And when Jehu is come to Jezreel, he's getting ready to clean some house. He's cleaning up Ahab. He's going to deal with Jezreel. Look what he says. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, this wicked woman. And she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. She thinks that she's going to get ready to deal with this man by the way she looks. Take your Bible and look over at Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah 44 and verse 15. Jeremiah 44, 15 says this. Jeremiah 44, 15. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 4, verse 30. Jeremiah 4, 30. I was going ahead of myself. Jeremiah 4, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30. Jeremiah 4, verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, the Lord talking about Israel, and when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee; they will seek thy life. Take your Bible, look over at Ezekiel chapter 23. Ezekiel 23, verse number 39. These are not friendly verses in Ezekiel chapter 23. The Lord calling out both Israel and Judah as they played the whore among the nations, how they sold themselves to whoredoms, how they went after other nations and other gods and did as those other nations and those other gods. But look at verse 39 of chapter number 23 in Ezekiel. Verse number 29, or I'm sorry, verse 39. Nope. Yeah, verse 39. Ezekiel 23:39. For when they laid slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. You see how bad it got in Israel? They went out and they killed their children to their idols. And after they had killed their children to their idols, then they came that same day into the sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from afar, or from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thy eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments. Three places here. 2 Kings 9:30, Jeremiah 4:30, and Ezekiel chapter 23 talks about women painting their face. Every instance I've found in the Bible where it's talking about a woman painting her face, it's not a good connotation. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a woman wearing a little bit of makeup, but she ought to be very careful with it. You ought to look up what red lipsticks mean. Ought to do a little research and go see where red lipstick started from and what it means. Brethren, I came out of my mother's womb, and I think everybody in this room, you came out of your mother's womb. And I think that's the only way you ought to be. I told these girls at a church one time, I said, be content with the way God made you. There's too many young ladies today, they're trying to be like what they see out there in the world. On the phone, they see all these women all decked up with makeup, all decked up with and getting body parts done and getting surgeries done to try to be something that they cannot be. It's smoke and mirrors. How many of those pictures that we see today, that young ladies see today, it's photoshopped? It's not even the real woman. How many magazine covers and billboards and movies and it's all photoshopped. And the devil knows what he's doing to both destroy the young man and the young lady for her trying to be something she can never be, nor what God intended her for to be. How many men's married a woman and all he's ever seen her is her face painted, and the next morning when he wakes up, her face ain't painted. He's like, whoa, you don't look like you looked like before. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm being honest. You've seen it before, women that get all decked up with makeup, and then one time you've seen without their makeup on, and you're like, their eyes look different. What did Proverbs chapter 6, lust not after her beauty, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Look at, mascara does something to the eyes. Just saying. This ain't popular preaching right here, but I think it's needful. It's godly. It's godly. I don't think my daughter has to put any 1 ounce of makeup on for her to be beautiful, nor my wife. I've heard preachers say this. I heard some preachers say, Well, even the old barn needs a little paint. My wife ain't no old barn. You hear me? My wife ain't no old barn. Come on, man, preacher. Come on. I'm thankful for the wife that God gave me the way God gave her to me. God forbid I put pressure on her to be something that God ain't made her to be. Same with my precious little daughter. It's too many girls taking their life today because they're striving to be something they can never be when they realize that the enemy gets in their mind and says, you're just ugly, you're just disgusting, nobody's ever going to like you because you don't look like this woman on the movie screen, you don't look like this woman on this music video. Just put a gun and end it all because you'll never be like them. And don't tell me it don't happen. And it's sad today when you got Christian women coming into church, they look just like the world. There ain't no difference between them and the world. God help us today, brethren. Christian women and Christian men. You know why some men don't say nothing? Because they're afraid of their wife. They're scared of their wife. They're scared what she might say. I don't think God would ever call me to preach if I didn't stand up to my wife. Not that my wife's ever given me any problem, but God expected me to be a man. I was raised in a home. Can you pause this for a second? Women are lesser. I never said any of that. Because I'm going to say this next. Take your Bible, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. You know why, by God's grace, I would never send my daughter to a public high school. Never. 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 You can turn me back on again if you haven't already. Never. I walk by Deerf High School sometimes and I see how some of those young men deal with young ladies. Never. It makes my blood boil thinking of any young man doing something to that girl back there. Oh, it would not be pretty. Oh, it would not be pretty. I don't care how big you are. I'll find some way to take you out. I guarantee you that, son. I'm jealous. Look, you know what some men need today? They need to be jealous over their wives and daughters. They need to be jealous over their wives and daughters. I don't want men gawking at my wife. That's why she tries to dress modest, because she knows this man right here would go crazy if I saw a man gawking over her. Because she's my wife. She's mine. Her body's mine. My body's her for nobody else. Same with you. Your body's for her. Her body's for you and nobody else's eyes. Do you understand me this morning, brother? If you don't hear anything, that's your wife and that's your husband. And your bodies are for one another, not for anybody else. I don't want to see your wife's body. That's yours. You ought to be jealous over her. And you say, preacher, where's God? One of the names of God is jealousy. God's a jealous God. And if you're saved this morning, you are the bride of Christ. And I guarantee you, he's jealous over you. He's jealous over you. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Look at this command that is put on husbands. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Look at this next. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a command to husbands. Husbands, the Bible says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says that our husband is to love his wife as Christ also loved the church. What love a husband ought to pour out upon his wife. If a husband truly loves his wife, he'll lead her as he ought to lead her, even if it might hurt her feelings sometimes. Because the Bible says, before he says, the husband is the head of the wife. If you really love someone, you'll be willing to correct them. True love hurts. If you really love someone, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave him self for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We are to love our wives, husbands. If you're a husband here this morning, you ought to love your wife. You ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And we're not going to get into it this morning, but we're going to go over, Lord willing, next week, some ways that Christ loved the church. A husband is not to be a dictator. A husband is not to be bitter towards his wife. A husband is not to deal with his wife treacherously. There's some commands and some things that God puts upon a husband that are serious. Love your wife. Love your wife. Do right by your wife. Be the leader that God's created you to be. And go with the Lord and his book, so that this world can see a difference. I think the divorce rate, the last time I looked at the statistics, it's probably been a year or two. If I was not mistaken, the last time I looked at the statistics of the divorce rate, I believe it was higher in the churches than it is now in the world. That's true. That ought not to be. Brethren, you want to know what I believe about divorce and remarriage? I believe a man ought to get married and stay married. They're both saved, they get married, they stay married. Something comes up and they get separated, neither one of them gets married. They're saved, neither one. They need to be reconciled to each other. Marriage is a serious thing in the eyes of God. Serious. It's very serious. God puts marriage way up there. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God join you two together, and every other marriage that's in here, God join you two together. It's a serious thing in God's eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would take heed to what is written in your word, dear Lord. God, help us, Lord. I pray you'd help me, dear Lord. Help me not just to go off of the way the world says it's supposed to be. Lord, help me. Lord, help me and help the precious brethren here. Lord, help us to take the principles. Lord, help us to take the principles that are found in your word, the principles. God, help us to love you more. Lord, help us to conform more to your word. Lord, purge us. Lord, purify us. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help our lives to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, if there's anything in our life that's a reproach, Lord, if there's anything in our life, dear God, that you're displeased with, may we, like David, say, search us and try us and know us, dear God. Help us, as Paul says, to examine ourselves. Lord, help us to look at our own hearts, dear God. And Lord, if there's something there that needs to be corrected or made right, Lord, help us to do so. Lord, so especially as husbands, to where our prayers are not hindered. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise and all that is said and done. And Lord, help us now as we get ready to go into this next time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. You're dismissed here for a moment. We'll get started back up here in about 15 minutes. And about 10 minutes, if any man's interested, we're going to go in here and pray. Amen.